Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome into the Investing in Real Estate show, everyone. I'm Clayton Morris, longtime real estate investor, and this is the show where we help you build financial intelligence so you can build financial freedom. We do it with buy and hold real estate. God, if you've been watching the stock market the past few weeks, holy smokes. Aren't you glad you're a real estate investor? I mean, just crazy what happens in the stock market. So, welcome into the show. And again, buy and hold real estate. We buy real estate and we hold it for the rest of our lives. That's the goal. And it cash flows. We get all the tax benefits of it. And that's what we teach you to do here on this program. Now, we've got two great guests on the show today, husband and wife team. They moved from China a number of years ago to the United States and started investing in real estate just a few short years ago. So they are not deep in this process. I mean, they have not done thousands of deals. They have a handful of properties. So I think you can relate to them at that level because they're just getting started. And as Johnny said to me, he said, you know, I'm not financially free yet, but I'm on the way. And so I think you can learn a lot from Johnny and Jenny Situ. Not only are they real estate investors, but Johnny's a software developer and said, you know what? I want to build something that can help people in the real estate world. So guess what? He created an app called Deal Crunch, which is an iPhone app and an Android app that you can download. You can play around with it for free. And then if you stick around to the end of the episode, I'm going to tell you how you're going to be able to save 10% off if you want to sign up for their program, which is fantastic. And then, of course, you get to manage all of your rental properties right inside of the app. So we'll tell you more about that later in the episode. But first, Johnny, how many rental properties do you have so far?
We have like 8 properties in Charlotte and 1 in Fort Mill.
Great. So 8 properties. Are they all single families, duplexes? What types of properties are they?
Mostly single family home and just one townhouse.
And a townhouse. Great. So take me back. How did you guys get started in real estate investing? How did you decide, hey, this is the vehicle that my wife and I, we want to put together. This is what we want to do. Jenny, why don't you take it?
Johnny was the guy that first got interested in real estate investing back in 2009. Back in 2012, right? How did we start it?
I think I can take it. Back in 2012, I just drove my wife every day to work.
Oh, that's right.
So on the road, I basically kind of getting boring. I just listen to different podcasts. And, you know, one of the shows is your show and other different real estate podcasts. Oh, I just keep listening. Yeah, I keep listening every single day and just, you know, by the time I got like maybe 100 episodes, and then I was wondering, why not just kickstart it and just buy a house and see how it goes. And then I just go bought a townhouse near my home and just go from there. It's just kind of like an accidental landlord, I would say.
And where did you grow up?
We grew up in China and we went to the States in 2009. So a couple of days before is our 10 years anniversary in the United States.
You know, I hear this a lot. And there was an article recently about this and, you know, people can gruff at me however they want, but I believe immigrants have an energy about them, an entrepreneurial energy about them that a lot of people, I think, you know, some people that just grow up, you know, in the United States don't have. You know, go down to all the different storefronts in New York City. They're, you know, all owned by immigrants who moved here, didn't have anything in their pocket. And just had to make it work. So can you speak to that a little bit? And someone who may be sitting there with their arms folded right now saying, I'm not an immigrant, but I work hard. That's fine. But the overwhelming number, we're seeing this in a lot of the data that's coming out. In fact, I wish I had pulled that article up. It was fascinating about immigrants and their willingness, just like that extra level of work and entrepreneurial spirit. Can you speak to that a little bit?
Yeah, I think that's a very interesting topic. Actually, if someone local here went to China or somewhere else, they probably will be very entrepreneurial as well. So probably it's because of when you're alone with no family roots here. So you got to be on your own working hard. So that's probably the environmental reasons. But also, I think in China, we do have a culture of buying houses, real estate investing. It's kind of like deep in the root of Chinese culture, I could say that.
Yeah, for me, my parents, they're always very strict to me. So when I was in China, they do want me to get a good grade, get a good job. So they probably like spend all of their money to me and just go to the States and get a degree. So for me, it's kind of like very under pressure when I go to the States. I just want to like, oh, I have all my money from my parents. I have to make it work. So every step of the road, I just want to make it better, make it my best effort. So it's definitely take a lot of efforts, to be honest.
Yeah, well, it's absolutely. I mean, and to take those first few steps. So you're driving her to work. You're listening to our podcast and others and learning about real estate investing. And tell me about that first deal. When did you decide, you know, I'm sure you're having these discussions, just like my wife and I, we have discussions like that back and forth when we're driving, you know, I'm going to do this. No, you're not. All right. Are you sure? Yeah. All right. You've gone back and forth on it. So take me back to that first deal and walk me through what do the numbers look like and how you found it and how you pulled the trigger.
Sure. The first deal is in 2013. I think it's 14. It's right after we bought our first house. So we basically use the same agent. The agent we used to buy our house, she's very good. He's have very much experience in the Charlotte market. And in 14, we were like, oh, we want to buy a house. Maybe if we ask advice from our agents, and he recommends, well, maybe you can start buying a townhouse near your house. It's close. It's very close to your house, so you can just drive there every single day and you know take care of it. And a good thing about townhouse is they have HOA and you don't have to take care of the lawn. So, and the area there is pretty good. They have very good like school district. So the tenants profile there is very good. You don't have like worry about, you know, they're paying on time every month. So I just talked to my wife. It was like, well, I want to start this to earn some passive income. I'm not targeting like making a ton of money. I just want to, you know, have like, kind of like an investment strategy or something like that. Instead of putting my money into the bank, I'm maybe just earning a little bit of interest every single month. Or it's like, maybe try this. And if it works, it works. Because to me, real estate is kind of like easy step for the beginners to get into investing. You have a house, like not like a stock. If it doesn't work, just sell it. Unlike, you know, stocks, which I can get into it later. But, you know, stock, you can just get to zero in one day. You can't guarantee it. But for a house, it's not as bad as stocks.
Right. You know, a house can never go down to $0 in value, right? Hopefully you have insurance on the property. And even if the house burns down, you still own the land and you have insurance, you have a rebuild. So yeah, with real estate, it's not the same as a stock. You're owning a sort of a piece of a company that doesn't really exist. You know, you're sort of investing in Wall Street, which we know how that goes. So I'm not a fan. So I love how you bought these first few, right? If I understand from some of my notes here, you bought these first properties with a 20% down, right? So 20% down. So you're using other people's money, which I love, right? So you're leveraging these properties, the first ones you bought, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep. You know, me and my wife are both W-2 workers. So for us, getting a loan from a bank is not as bad as, you know, like other like contractors or something like that. So we use the lender we use for our own house. We talk to her and just, you know, go from there. The house we bought is like a 3-bedroom, 2-bath townhouse. The price is around like 129. The square feet is like 1,400 square feet. So the dollar per square feet is under a dollar. So to me is under its intrinsic value. So if the house burned down and the insurance company want to rebuild it, it's definitely more than this price. So to me, it's a great deal. And 2014 is still a very good time for us to invest in real estate. We regret to buy even more during that time if I look at those deals.
Right. Well, that's always the regret of the old real estate investors in the room. It's that they wish they had bought more and they wish they had held on to the ones that they had sold. You know, they flip, you know, if they were flipping properties, they wish they would have just held them instead of given them to a flipper to make money on. So it's usually the case. So Jenny, what was your thought during this process when you're driving to work and listening to the show and kind of about ready to make this decision? What did you think Johnny was up to?
Yeah, I was just naturally supporting him. I think it's natural for us to think how to invest our money if we have like extra ones. So obviously there are traditional options like just buy another house for rental, buy and hold. And there's another option is stock market, obviously. And then we learn our lessons after Johnny was investing a lot in penny stocks. That was like 2 years later. I love to mention this story, but he probably doesn't want to mention that. He earned a lot of money from the stock market, but then he lost a lot more. So that time was kind of like the investment downs for us. So we do learn the lessons. So during that time, we learned a lot more about real estate investing. And at that time, we know that unlike traditional buying the real estate, there's a snow effect in the real estate investing. So after that, we learned how to like pull equity out and how to do more like creative investing. So we learned together naturally, and we made mistakes along the way. At first, we don't even know how we do the tax return ourselves, and we even forgot to do the depreciation.
Oh, no.
We learned the lesson, and so we hired a good CPAs, and we got a lot of tax return.
Yeah, credit to you, Clayton. We kind of, as the time goes by, we listen a lot of your YouTube videos and your podcast. We learn a lot of things and mistakes, and we can avoid. So we just keep learning every single day. Like my wife gave me a lot of supports, mental supports. You know, as she mentioned, the failure in stock investing is also give me a big hit. Like maybe we can just transition, like focus all our energy into real estate investing instead of like penny stocks.
No, that's great. And, you know, and thank you for saying that about this show. But honestly, the credit is to you. So many, so many people listen to the show, but don't take action. And that's one of my biggest, I don't want to say biggest regrets. If I could get everyone that listens to this show, regardless of where they are in their life, you know, they've got debt, or they've had a bad experience. You know, there's a lot of people listening who've had a terrible experience with something. Maybe it was their first real estate deal that they did and it went totally wrong, and now they've got a bad taste in their mouth about it. Or maybe they invested in penny stocks and lost a lot of money. I've certainly lost a lot of money, made a ton of mistakes, but I would never look back. What would you say to somebody who's listening right now, who's kind of in that situation, who's made a mistake or had a dark time? What would you say to that person?
I would say just you know, leave the stuff behind and just keep focusing on what's your goal, what's your motivation. If you have a family to take care of, you just kind of like, you got to find a way to take care of your family. And, you know, to me is you got to be like persevere, like every single day. Just like practice, maybe playing basketball. You cannot like just play one day and just expect you can play like a pro. You got to make mistakes along the way. So I talked to a lot of my friends about real estate investing. Like you said, most of them don't like to take risks. But to me, the biggest mistake is not to take risks. If you don't take risks, you can get what you want.
Yeah. And I love a quote that you had sent me too, because I think sums it up. And I think this is great. You said, you know, life is about meaningful relationships and meaningful work. And you're still on your way to becoming financially free. It may take you 10 years, it may take you 5 years, but that doesn't really matter. What matters is that you're becoming stronger every day, physically, mentally, and spiritually. So it's a whole journey. You never hit the end point, right?
Yes, definitely.
And you have to grow from that point, right?
Yeah, even like a lot of money in stock market, to me is it becoming even stronger, because if I can lose the amount of money in stock market, I don't even like afraid of anything else. In every state, I could just take even more risks, you know, to some extent. But you know, right. Become an educational decision at that time.
It's like, I'm reminded of a movie, and this is a dramatic example, but there's a Jeff Bridges movie that I just love. It's from, I think, from the early 90s, called Fearless. And I think it's Jeff Bridges. I'm pretty sure. And he's in a plane crash and survives, which is the beginning of the movie. So I'm not giving anything away. But I would encourage everyone to go watch this movie, because it really challenges you to think about the things you're really scared about in life. And then when you're confronted with them, how meaningless some of that just tiny little garbage actually is. And it's not that important. And it teaches you in many ways to be fearless. So he started to live this like fearless life. Anyway, sidebar, everyone go rent that movie, find it on Netflix. But I think you, to your point, once you've gone through the loss of all these penny stocks, you're like, my God, I can go through anything now.
Yeah.
I could also share some what we experienced during that time, and especially how to support if your husband or yourself lost a lot of money in the investments. So I support him like financially and, like you said, mentally also, and spiritually. So like financially, just keep your day job and have a good credit score so that in the future you can still have the ability to loan money to get more investments, and also be frugal, like have the mindset to save money. You don't have to drive like luxury cars or have really a lot of good clothes. So as a wife, try to be the asset instead of a liability. I hope I'm still.
I love it. No, that's great.
I actually heard that from the podcast.
Yeah.
Absolutely. No, I love this. And it's a message I'm trying to drive home to people, you know, stop buying stupid stuff, you know, stop buying stuff you don't need, and really try to be an asset, not a liability. And yeah, it's so important on the spouse front to be that support, because I mean, look, Abraham Lincoln had Mary Todd and all. She spent so much money. She was like, and Abraham Lincoln had to say to her, hey, we're in the middle of a war. Can you not be spending all this money on ridiculous curtains in the White House? Like, that, I mean, you know, we have history of that. So sometimes not every spouse is on board. So, that's a good lesson.
Yeah. But don't go to extremes for frugality. I think if I say, if I keep on buying clothes, I probably can share my clothes with my daughters. Just kidding.
Right.
Support him also mentally and physically, like do workouts, like also do meditation if sometimes you have time. That will calm the mind a lot. And also spiritually, that we are Christians, and I just keep encouraging him to go to church. Don't give up, like don't be too far away from God so that he could still like a pray or something, like to calm himself down. And then read together, read a lot of good books, like, what are the good books? Principles.
Oh, Ray Dalio's book. Yeah.
Ray Dalio, right. And mindset and like investing books and parenting books sometimes, give us a lot of, inspiration too. And even marriage books, so that we can keep in good relationships. Because not a lot of times we are in good relationships. So we have to learn that as well. That will be the foundation of future good investments.
Yeah. I mean, you're totally different couple. If you get married in your 20s, you're going to be totally different human beings in your 30s. And you're going to be totally different human beings in your 40s. So it's important, if you really want to stay married, to grow together and to sit and learn together and to maybe meditate together, go to church together, whatever it is you do. I'm reminded of something that Deepak Chopra recently said that I loved. He talked about meditation, that if you don't have 20 minutes to meditate every day, then you need to meditate 40 minutes a day.
Yeah, if you can't spare 10 minutes a day, you have a problem.
Right. And it's something Sting talked about years ago when he was, you know, getting into yoga and talking about that. Wow, who has 90 minutes a day to do yoga? And what you find is that your life actually expands as a result of having done that 90 minutes. You have more space in your life because you've allowed for that time. Like, I know it sounds counterintuitive, but it's absolutely true. So Jenny, thank you for bringing that point home. That's really important. I want to go back before we wrap things up here and get you guys out of here and be respectful of your time. The first few houses you bought, you had those two townhouses. And I think I love that you guys did a 1031 exchange, right? So from my notes, you guys did a 1031 exchange. Talk about that. For our audience that's not familiar, we have a whole podcast devoted to 1031 exchanges. But can you tell us the mechanics of that, what that looked like, how much money you made, and how you were able to not pay any taxes?
Sure. The basic principle of 1031 exchanges is that you sell a house and instead of paying taxes to the government, you can just have those profit gains and buy another house. But the principle is the house you bought have to be expensive than the one you sell. So if you sell a house at $100,000, the replacement properties have to be expensive than $100,000. And there's another principle is like if you buy more than two properties, you know, the total numbers of the value of them of the replacement property has to like three times or two times the one you sell. So I cannot remember the specific, but the principle is that you can just withhold those profit gain and just reuse those money instead of paying taxes, which is to us is a big gain.
Oh yeah. And for years you can do that, right? So you can do that until you die and then pass that on to your kids in the same way. That's why it's probably the most important wealth building vehicle that's out there.
Yeah. And it's our major, I would say, strategy. So we can kind of like exponentially expand our portfolio, like from two properties to five during like last year. We sell one, we buy two, and we sell the other one, and we bought three. So
it's
keep growing up. Like we are planning, like maybe in the next years, we could just sell those properties and just, you know, triple the size of our portfolio during that time.
That's great. Now, and before I let you go on that point, what was the, you know, what was the mindset? Because, you know, I say like, if you've got a portfolio of 50 properties, you always want to be nurturing your portfolio and you want to kind of be looking at the ones that, A, are either like dogs, and maybe it's time to maybe sell those. B, might be have really appreciated in value. And now it's time to sell those off because now those are like A-class properties. You don't want to hold on those for cash flow. You want to use that money to buy five properties instead of the one, right? So what was your mindset? When did you know, hey, it's time to sell these two in order to buy five?
First, it's all depending on the numbers. First, you have to look at the profitability of your portfolio. If you know if this house doesn't produce that much money, you gotta figure out why. And one of the solutions is to sell it. And the other thing is to consider is about the market. How much money are the people in the market willing to pay? If the price keep going up in this hot market, I think this is a very good way a good time to sell. It's just like stocks. If everybody like buying houses like crazy, I think it's a good time to sell some of your portfolio to just gain that profit instead of holding it. But it all depends on, you know, how much money the portfolio produce. We just picked those like townhouses in South Carolina because the property taxes in South Carolina is ridiculous. It's like three times as much as in Charlotte. So we just sell those instead of holding them.
So sold them in South Carolina, bought in North Carolina. Great move. And now you've expanded your portfolio and you're going to continue to do that. Before I let you get out of here, tell me about Deal Crunch. What does that company do and what was the inspiration for it?
We found Deal Crunch like 2017. I think the one of the reasons we found this company is like we want to analyze properties kind of like flexibly. So when we go out, you know, hunting houses, we want to pull out our phone and just, you know, plug in some numbers and give us an idea of what's the returns going to be. So at the time, there's nothing out there instead of a spreadsheet, like in your laptop and putting some spreadsheet. But for us, it's not convenient. So I came from a IT background. I like develop, you know, beautiful, you know, apps, softwares. So I was like, maybe I can put together a very good tool, you know, easy for me to use and maybe can benefit the community. So just go for it and just take actions like I took actions in real estate. So it takes me like, I don't know, 6-7 months, day in, day out. You know, I have a job, I have two kids and a wife. So for me, the only time I can spare is like 2-3 hours a day, maybe in the midnight in order to do this. But, you know, after 7 months, I got this done. Just launched the app. Right now we have a couple thousand, you know, registered users, which is kind of, to me, it's pretty good. We're not targeting like making a ton of money, but like I said, you take action. You don't know what you can do, but just do what you love. That's what I can say.
And it also can help with calculating the 1030 exchange when we were doing that. And when we're doing the BRRRR strategy, it can also help us. So we want to provide more value and help more people in that case as well.
Yeah, the app can do many things. Like it can allow you to analyze flips. It can analyze rentals. And like Jenny mentioned, the BRRRR. And it can also generate a very beautiful PDF report. So you can just share it with your partner, your lender. So, mm-hmm. You know, and you can also do some reverse engineering to give you some numbers. If you can only like to spend this amount of money, if I want to get a 10% return on this, how much money should I pay? The app can help you do that as well.
Yeah, it's great. If you just go to dealcrunch.io, everyone should go check it out. You can download it from the Apple App Store or get it on Google Play on your smartphone, but you can go to the website and check it out. You get easy access, manage all of your properties in one place, get the in-depth analysis, calculate all sorts of investment metrics for rental and flip. Really good stuff. Really good stuff to kind of put all of this in one place. And if you find a property that, you know, it's part of your portfolio, then you upload images of that property, so it makes it easy for you to kind of scan through and look at what you've got going there. So awesome stuff, and thank you for creating that app. And everyone should go check it out and download it and see if it's a fit for them and their rental portfolio. All right. So we've got a special offer that we wanted to tell everyone about. So Johnny and Jenny were kind enough to say, okay, listeners of this podcast, if you go and you download the app and you use the coupon code Morris, that's M-O-R-R-I-S, my last name, Morris, you will save over 10% off, because you're actually going to save more than 10%. If you use that coupon code, if you download Deal Crunch and then you sign up for their subscription, and you're going to want to, because it's a great way to manage your rental properties. It's a great way to analyze deals, to have everything right there cleanly in one space. So you can have it right on your phone. It's a great way to look at that, all of those things. So use that coupon code Morris. Again, the app is called Deal Crunch. You can download it on your iPhone right now or on your Android device and take advantage of that exclusive offer. Now, thanks for everyone for listening. We'll see you next time here on the show. Go out there, take action, become a real estate investor. I believe it's the number one way to build wealth. We'll see you next time, everyone.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.